Welcome to the Heart Journey Podcast. Today we have a guest, Pastor Kate Smith. We have part two of my podcast with her where we're talking about moving from codependence to Christ dependence. You're going to hear more of her story. You're going to hear more of what she's learned, and you're going to hear more of where science intersects with Jesus and in the Word of God. And you are going to get free. There's so much good in this. We go so deep. We both go into our own stories, and we both go deep into the Word, and we're going to pray for you at the end. So enjoy. I'd love to talk to you about anger toward our husbands, if that's okay with you. Yeah. Because I went through a time when we were circling.
Yeah.
Where I was mad. I had joined him in some decisions, but I was angry for him for how the decisions went down and the consequences of some things.
Yeah.
In a particular area. Anyway, I'm no longer angry, but I had to, first of all, it surprised me that I got angry. Mm-hmm. It's kind of embarrassing. But it took me a while. I realized from my childhood stuff, I felt like the victim, you know, and I felt like it was kind of like that object permanence where my mom used to be abusive and no one would confront her on it. I was reliving that with my husband, but he wasn't abusive. My husband's not abusive, you know, and I had to make this really big shift, and some mentors helped me with this, to see the three fingers pointing back at me.
Yeah. The judgment.
Yes. Because my own judgment and resentment and kind of hostility is just as offensive and probably more to the Lord compared to anything Tim did.
Yes, exactly. It's the overreaction. Why am I getting triggered to be angry? And you know, I've had to do a lot of deep work because my dad used to get into rages really easily with us and lose it with us. And it was often times when I was trying to express myself and he didn't give me space and he would just shut me down with anger. Mm. And I realized, and the Sanford Elijah House teaching really helped us recognize that, you know, the cycle of sowing and reaping in judgment. Yes. And I realized that a lot of my anger was unexpressed emotions, my unexpressed voice, but also the judgments I had towards my dad and the anger that I had towards my parents for some of the scenarios growing up. Yeah. And I realized that because I was judging my parents, then I was reaping that. And so Duncan could say something that to another person wouldn't mean anything and wouldn't trigger them. But this anger was coming up towards him. And I was like, wow, that was strong. And I didn't realize it was strong. He had to help me see that was really angry. Why are you so angry with me? And a lot of it was, you're not listening to me.
Yes.
So then I had to begin to forgive my dad for not listening and for getting angry and to ask the Lord to forgive me for my wrong reaction to my dad.
Yes. Yes.
For judging him in my heart and then reaping a whirlwind, as scripture says.
Yes.
You sow a wind, you reap a whirlwind. It's the sowing and reaping, the multiplication of judgment coming back. And they say so much so that even if your husband doesn't start off angry, they can become angry because they fall into this expectation in the spirit that says, you've got to become angry. And so I'm like, okay, so when I'm being pushed and triggered, okay, where's that anger coming from? What do I need to do now to actually take the responsibility? It's those three fingers pointing back, as you were saying.
So good. It's so important to do our own deep work. And as you've done this work, has there been an impact on Duncan and your marriage?
Really. And I think the biggest thing is that we would be like this. Mm-hmm. And Duncan always says, humility has no worthy opponent. Yeah. And so it takes humility to actually get off your high horse. And sometimes that means some time apart to cool down, to go and pray, have some time out, and not keep escalating. And then it's giving permission for each of you to be able to do that. And then to come together and just say, when you said this, it made me feel like this. And I don't know if you realize when you said this, and just being calm enough to actually express and seek to understand, well, what was happening? What was going on when that happened? What were you feeling? What was going on inside? And I think it's taken us many years to do that, because we literally had parents that never asked us those questions.
Yeah.
And so you marry with so few skills. Mm-hmm. It's the healing journey, but it's also learning the right questions to ask one another.
That's right.
How are you feeling?
I love the way you basically said a phrase I teach a lot, which is the story I made up about that was like that humility to realize that Terry Real talks about core negative image, which means you might be doing something that 20%, 25% is legit. Mm-hmm. Kind of a little bit offensive to me, right? But 75% of my reaction is from my past.
Yes. Yes. It's so true.
Yeah.
So true. And I think it feels to me like the healing of the heart, inner healing, soul care, whatever, it's about a continuous untangling.
Yes.
Of the ball of wool somehow.
Yes.
It's like it never feels like you've really finished. Mm-mm. And then you're asking for grace. Like, I need grace. I need to respond well. I need to not jump into the flesh and react here. I need to be godly in my response. And I think this is where marriage has to be supernatural, because you can't do this on your own. Mm-hmm. You can't do it without the Holy Spirit's help.
Yeah.
Because it's we're so inadequate true. In our own strength, even the most skilled people.
Yeah,
because we come from such different woundings in our backgrounds,
yeah,
that it's like this whole schmozzle, and you're just trying to unpick it a little bit at a time, hoping that you're going to get straightened out ultimately.
I like the word schmozzle.
it's a good one, schmozzle. Isn't it? Yeah, we're all in a mess.
Yeah, but I think about Cain and Abel, and even all the way back there, like to the first family, there was this felt sense of hierarchy that is not real. And I think a lot of our blaming, it's like, I need to blame you, so I'm not the bad one, you're the bad one. And it's this, someone has to be the bad one, and someone has to be on top and on the bottom, some put one on the bottom.
Yeah.
And it's, none of it is based on the unity we have in Christ. See, in Christ, we're all one. In Christ, there are no dividing barriers. There is no hierarchy. We think about, why do we get mad when someone pulls out and pulls in front of us? We feel that they've one-upped us somehow. They haven't respected us. And yet we have all we need. We're not mad when a storm ruins something we had planned. We're not mad at the weather, most likely. It's just the weather. But the reason why we're mad if a person pulls out in front of us is because we feel like it's slighted some kind of sense of worth or hierarchy.
Yes.
And it's all based on a lie. There is no hierarchy. We are all equals. And through Christ, all of our needs for significance, worth, belonging, and acceptance, and even provision, these are the big things that we're trying to get from people in our codependency.
Yeah, so true.
It's all taken care of. We have what we need. We just need to live in that holy of holies.
Well, it's so classic, because the story of the prodigal son, or the loving father, as we like to call it,
you know,
he had two sons raised in the same home, same privileges, but two different responses.
Yeah,
you know, the younger son openly rebels, leaves his father's home, squanders the wealth, and gets stuck looking after pigs. and realizes that if he could be his father's servant, he would be treated better than he's been treated at the moment. But then you've got the older brother who everything in the father's household was available for him, but he was so jealous of his brother, his younger brother.
Yeah.
And his father said, everything I have is yours. And the fatted calf was for you, but you never accessed it.
Yes.
And so I think we live in either being the oldest son or the youngest son. We're still acting like orphans in both circumstances. We don't realize what we have in our father's house, but we respond very differently. And I think that's the whole thing, isn't it? It's all about perspective and thinking, well, you know, the older brother, you know, how can you treat this son of yours, not even my brother, how can you treat him like that when he did such bad things? And then, you know, you've got the pride of the older brother thinking he was better because he'd lived a good life, but there was no joy in his life. I mean, it's just that story is such the epitome of the human race.
So good. I spent the whole summer in that story, the whole summer. I took a trip up to Prince Edward Island on my own. I went on a 9-day pilgrimage and spent all those days in that story. And Henry Nouwen talks about we're actually called to be the father. Like you know, we can find ourselves in one of the two sons who both were lost. They were both lost. Yeah. One was right in the father's house and lost, and the other had to go away to be to find the father.
Yeah.
But this idea that we're called in Christ to be the father, and I don't mean that we're the Lord, but what I mean is we're the father in the story, that we are actually there as the father to the world and to the prodigals.
That's right.
And that literally we know what the father has is ours. And it'll just like the money in the fish's mouth, we'll have what we need. The Lord, I've been trying to wait on the Lord in silence and stillness. And a few mornings ago, I felt like the Lord said, I want you to read Psalm 23. Of course, we love Psalm 23, but he brought me to the Lord as my shepherd, I shall not want. It really is a dependent relationship that he meets every need.
Yeah.
And this is the real healing. This is where healing, codependency is a worship disorder, and bringing our worship back to him. And to be honest, we worship him, but he loves us in a way that's kind of worshipful as well. And I don't mean that as sacrilegious, because he is the Holy One. He's the Lord, but he adores us.
Yes. Yes.
You know, it's very loving. He hovers over our chaos to form himself in us.
Uh-huh.
All right. As we wrap up, precious Pastor Kate, dear friend of mine, what else do you want us to know about codependency? What other nuggets have you picked up along the way? Because you pastor a lot of leaders. So I'm sure that you've learned a lot.
There's so many aspects of it. I think the recognition, you know, whether we've realized it or not, because we can sin by omission or intentionally, you know, we just don't know what we don't know. And I think when we realize that we've been leaning into people to get our needs met rather than going to God ourselves, or whether we've been demanding too much of our church congregation or our leadership team, there has to be an awareness that, wow, maybe this is me. Maybe I've developed some unhealthy patterns as a leader. What do I do with that? You know, because you can go into sorrow, but godly sorrow should lead you to repentance. And I think that's ultimately God's way of his comfort in love. He draws us in loving kindness. He doesn't shame us when he highlights something in our life. But if we can realize, wow, we've sinned, we've hurt people, we've done things that we shouldn't, we need to have a humble and a contrite heart to acknowledge we were wrong and to be willing to make amends and really go to people and actually say, I need to repent of this.
It's good.
I need to repent before the Father. I need you to free me from these unhealthy ties and attachments, and actually not just forgive me, but really heal me and cleanse me so that you can rewire my brain and the way I do things so that I'm not drawing energy from other people. I'm taking it straight from you.
Yes.
And I think, you know, it's sobering as a leader when you realize you've made many mistakes, but you can only learn from what the mistakes you've learned from, actually, the mistakes you've made, and you've been willing to change your ways. And I think, you know, I'm very conscious that I've needed to repent and tell people I'm really sorry. And yeah. Again, it's humility, because nobody wants a leader that is controlling or demanding or has to have the last say or, you know, doesn't include their team in things. And so it's multidimensional for leaders. And I think the biggest one is actually to acknowledge that you've got some dysfunctional patterns that you're putting on your team and even your church and your ministry if you've not been aware of it. So it's quite sobering, actually.
I think so. In this work I've been doing, I've been looking at all these patterns and looking at ways I've caused harm. And as leaders, there's a power differential. We don't want it to be so. Like, I know you, Kate, you don't feel like you don't present as you don't lord it over people. And I, like, in my job, I'm having belonging sessions with my staff. I want them to feel like they belong.
Yeah.
Just check in with their heart. So as much as I try to level the playing field, there's still a power differential. So when you and I get it wrong. And
it hurts.
It hurts people.
We speak from our office. That's what we always say. You know, if we ask somebody to do something, they're not just looking at Duncan and Kate. They're looking at us with our Catch the Fire World president's hat on.
Yes.
Ooh, I got to jump. And they've got their own filters with authority. Whereas actually, you know, there are sometimes we have to say, well, I'm coming to you as a friend now.
Yeah.
Or I'm coming to you as a pastor. Or I'm coming as your leader. You know, and you have to kind of help people understand that your office speaks very loudly because of that power imbalance.
Yes.
And I'm just learning more and more that we have to ask more questions. We need to say less and encourage others to speak a little bit more than we have allowed them to, you know?
So true. Because once you get to know someone, they all make sense. They do. But I bet as a leader, there are sometimes some messy diapers to change, so to speak. It's like there are messes. Yeah. I bet codependency plays a role in a lot of those and undealt with. Would you say that when leaders really struggle, that there's usually where the past is present that's not been dealt with as far as like wounds and childhood stuff?
Oh, 100%. Yes. Mm-hmm. Alongside the four faces of Jezebel, that wants to undermine Christian marriages, Christian businesses, Christian ministries, mm-hmm. and churches.
What are the four faces of Jezebel? Was that it?
Jezebel, Ahab, mm-hmm. Leviathan, and Python.
Yeah. Oh.
And the Kilstras have this whole teaching about the four faces. It's like the four expressions, really. And the whole point is that they're trying to undermine the work of God, the work of the Spirit, the work of the kingdom in everything that we do. And sadly, these spirits will use unwitting instruments. And it's people that don't know that they have become a voice for the enemy.
Yeah, it's fear. And when you're afraid, you control.
And pride, and control. And so that's where the past is present, because if somebody is getting into some of these dysfunctional relationships with their leader, where they're not receiving them as their leader. They're kind of usurping in their heart, or you're not going to tell me what to do, even though they're employed or they're part of the team, because it's the heart that talks. Yes. And so an open door in somebody's heart of wounding, pride and pain, they will seek a voice in a room, and that can cause chaos.
Yeah.
So we've had to learn how to deal with that with a lot of help from some experienced ministers that could really help us understand the dynamics in the spirit. Yeah.
Kate, I feel like the Lord just spoke to me about you, and I'm not quite sure that you know the treasure that you and Duncan now hold with all that you've stewarded and all that you've addressed. And I believe the Lord is bringing you into a new season of mentorship. I think He's going to give you some creative ideas for mentoring. You guys have learned to steward at a very high level the work of God and the people of God. And I think I've had this word for you before, now that I'm saying it, but I sense that there's a new level of mentorship that's going to come out of you. And like, you've been leading leaders, but you're going to lead leaders of leaders of leaders. And there's just going to be, you have wisdom, relational and EQ, that EQ and where it ties in with spiritual, a wisdom that's going to begin to pour forth from you guys in a new way. And I'm wondering if there's actually going to be some systematic teaching that's going to come out of your experiences. And I really sense the God's favor on you and Duncan for how you've kept confidences. You've dealt with hard things and you've kept joy in the house. You've dealt with hard things and you've kept peace. You've made the hard things small and made God big. And you've done this with an amazing grace. And I get the sense you guys don't understand completely the treasures you're holding and how much the leadership coming up needs it. And so I bless you in it. And I believe God's going to release it in some new ways. And I really want to encourage you that some of that might be some systematic teaching. If someone, I pray God brings in gifts of people who can help you systematically teach, even from your successes and your failures. We need it. And I just sense a level of promotion too for you and Duncan at this time, where you're like becoming like grandparents in the spirit and great grandparents in the spirit, and really a mantle of really a deep, deep, deep impartation through mentorship to the next generation. And it's growing and expanding, and it's very deep and very profound. And I believe it's going to reach outside your movement. It's going to reach into other places. And so look for that. And I bless you in that.
Thank you, Barbara Jean. I receive that. Whatever God wants. We're just available, right? We're just His little ones. We just follow Him and His leading. But yeah, for sure.
Well, let's pray for these precious ones watching. Mm. And we want to thank you for being here with us. And how about I start and you finish? And if you have anything the Lord gives you, feel free to share. Lord, we thank you for these loved ones, God, the men and women listening, the young people listening, Lord, the people who are hungry. Lord, we're tired. We're hurt from the brokenness in our relationships, and we're wanting more. And that's why we're doing this series. That's why people are being drawn to this series, because we want more. We want you to heal and put in place the broken places. We want to weep and wail and grieve where there has been sin. We want to lament instead of holding on in resentment. We want to lament and grieve and let go. Yeah. And we want to love the way you love. We want to forgive the way that you forgive with real forgiveness, not spiritual bypassing. So Lord, I pray for each person listening that you would show them what that next step is. Mm-hmm. Help them to get free. Help them to take the nugget from this podcast that you are giving them and just really cause that word to become flesh on the inside of them. We speak life. I just really sense people are hurting and they're beginning to get the courage to look under the rocks and mm-hmm. see the creepy critters, but also see when you lift up the rocks, there's life. There's mm-hmm. life. And God, when you look underneath things, God's going to bring life, is going to come forth. New streams of living water is going to come forth mm-hmm. as you allow him to uncover what mm-hmm. is going on in your life and some of the motivations that are even coming out of these this control and these unmet needs from childhood. And as you bring it back to him, I bless you in that in Jesus' name.
Oh, wow. Yes. Father, thank you that you are the restorer of the mm-hmm. broken wings. Yes, and Lord, you turn our sorrow into joy, our mourning into dancing. And I ask, Father, that you would take every person that has a heart to know you, that in your love, in that relentless pursuing of us with your love, like you sing and rejoice over each of us. Would you even speak into each person's identity that they are loved? Mm. They were created unique before the foundation of the earth to bring you joy, Father. And would you just take us all on a journey of returning to joy and that place of being restored in your love that makes us joyful again, like the little children that we were created to be that brought so much joy. And I ask, Father, that as Dr. Barbara has prayed, that people's hearts would be willing to trust you, that you would restore basic trust to go on a journey of discovering how faithful, how amazing you are, and how kind and gentle and merciful, and you're faithful, and that we would just lavish ourselves in your character and your nature and just take those steps to get more freedom, more healing, so that we can live the life that you purpose for us, Father God, and we can have the marriages and the relationships in our families that you ordained for us to have, and in our businesses yes. and our churches, Lord. You're doing it. You're preparing your bride to be that glorious bride, and we're part of that story.
Thank
you for taking us on this journey from one degree of glory to another. Whatever the messes are in between, you know our glory story. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor Kate Smith, for being with us on the Heart Journey podcast. I sure do love you and Duncan so much and the work you're doing.
Thank you, Barbara.
In Raleigh and in the world.
Oh, well, bless you. Thank you so much for having me. I always love our conversations. Amazing.
Oh, that was so good. Oh, it was so good. I love the prayer. I love what God's doing in us. His presence was just so strong in this podcast. I pray that you feel him wrapping himself around you. We have so much good to come. Make sure you're following us. Make sure you're following the Heart Journey podcast. Make sure you're getting notifications because we're podcasting 3 times a week. One with a guest from our current content. One, a solo podcast for me where I'm right now teaching on from codependence to Christ dependence. And then one is a Flashback Friday where we're pulling back some old content from our previous summits and Live at Fives that we did over the COVID time period. Some fresh, we're serving up some leftovers, but they are so fresh and yummy. Make sure you're following us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, all the places that podcasts are released. And don't forget about our free resources that we're offering this quarter, drbarbaraministries.org/rejection for 10 tools for overcoming rejection, and drbarbaraministries.org/self-parent for my self-parenting with Jesus tool that will help heal your inner child within. All right, you are loved. Jesus is so for you. The love of the Father wants to consume you. Just say, yes, Lord, yes. And I love you. I'll see you in the next podcast.